that with us. Give it up, guys. Thank you. I want to do something right now. Okay? Because I know a few people have asked me this week, what are we going to do? What's going to change this? So I want to do something right now that I know is one of the solutions. Okay, so will you all be willing to participate with me? You're not going to have to do anything weird. But I do want you to, do something with me. If you are a student, if you are an administrator, a teacher, a coach, a parent, or a grandparent of the schools that I list, what I want you to do is stand up and stay standing up. Okay, so I'll start first with Miamisburg, right where if you're in any way associated with Miamisburg High School, Miamisburg Schools, stand up right now, okay? West Carrollton, Franklin, Springboro, Centerville, Bellbrook, Alter. I'm blanking out here. Help me out. What other schools? Trotwood. Oakwood, yes, stand up. Oakwood. Fairmont. Waynesville. CJ. Lebanon. Dayton Public. Eaton. Dayton Christian. Beaver Creek. Yep. We've got a few schools here. Help. Valley View. It's a good one. Fairborn. Miami Valley. I said Fairmont, so Kettering Schools, yeah. Xenia. Preble Shawnee. Springfield, any Springfield? What did you say, Carl?
Twin Valley.
Okay. Carroll. Somebody say Carroll. Carlisle, yes. Golly, I missed a few, didn't I? All right, here's his. It starts with you. You love students. And you love students some more, and you love them some more. You find a way to go out of your way to love students. Last week I began this series by asking you, how many of you have had a little stress this year? You raised your hands. How many of you have had a medium amount of stress this year? You raised your hands. Some of those of you do. How many of you have had a great amount of stress this year? You raised your hands. And a mom told me, she was sitting beside her 11-year-old, and when I said, how many of you are experiencing a great amount of stress right now? Her 11-year-old raised his hand. I don't know the whole solution, gang, but it starts in this city with the people standing in this room right now. Amen? And go ahead and be seated. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. And I know this is why, for me, I'm giving my life, and many of you heard me say this previously, my life is focused on building into students and developing leaders. That's it. I mean, if it doesn't fit into that, I'm not doing it. And because sometimes those objectives intersect, don't they? They intersect. And I was a little stunned for that mom when she said, that was my 11-year-old who raised his hand. She said, he's a normal functioning 11-year-old. You know, if you were to look at him, you'd never know that he raises his little hand and goes, man, oh man. It's a crazy world our kids are growing up in. It's not your father's Chevrolet like it was. It's a different deal now. And I'm heartbroken. Are you? I mean, this is, you know, God, this ain't no time for angels. Send yourself. Send yourself and do that through us, right? Do that through us. As many of you know, this series is around this imagery by a European philosopher, inspirational speaker named Jonathan Martinson, where he said, feelings are much like waves. We can't stop them from coming, but we can choose which one to surf. And what we are learning, something I've been studying for 2 years that has changed my life, is the truth represented in that statement. Look at these words from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. And these words are the closest we have to an autobiography of Paul is in 2 Corinthians. There are so many autobiographical statements made. And he says, though, therefore, we do not lose heart. This is in the midst of a chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a textbook on how to manage pressure. And he says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Right? We are. We're all, in some way, we're getting older, right? We're all wasting away outwardly. I always loved the guy who tried to appear younger by putting braces on his false teeth. You know, it doesn't matter what you try to do. You are wasting away. And that's good news. Yet, inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. And actually, the more our physical self decreases, the more it allows the inward realities to increase, truthfully. Because we stop relying so much on our beauty, our strength, the things that physically allow us to perform and achieve. And so here's what I truly believe now more than ever in the last 2 years, that statement, if you can say that, the quality of your life from this day forward is dependent on whether you can say that or not. Say that I believe that is true. I believe that even though I have these unbelievable stressors in my life, if you believe that is true, regardless of the level of stress you're experiencing, it will be true. The effect you expect is the effect you'll get. My son Austin McMahon cleverly pointed out to me this week that stress is desserts spelled backwards. Yeah. Some of you are going like, yeah, it is. It's all how you look at it, you know? It is. Stress is desserts spelled backwards. And meaning that it's true now. We know literally what the scriptures have been saying for thousands of years, that stress is how you look at it. That belief affects your body literally, literally, biologically, stress affects your body. And so most of us grew up on Hans Selye's philosophy that most influenced Americans view as stress, that stress is bad, it's always bad, and the goal of your life should be to get stress out of your life. And now we realize that that is actually not true at all. The scriptures are right all along when it says we actually need stress to grow and to live. Many of us are like the guy who said, I tend to stress about stress before there's even real stress to stress about. It stresses me out to the point where I'm too stressed to deal with my stress. It is true, isn't it? There are so many ways that many of us have learned to self-medicate our stress. When I'm under stress, you know what I want to do? Any of you this way, how many of you, when I'm under a lot of stress, I want to take a drive? Is any of you that way? Now, here's what's damaging about that. I want to take a 2,000 or 3,000 mile drive. And when I get there, change my name. Okay? I have fantasized about Montana and a cabin so much in my lifetime. And we all have our ways that we deal with stress. And, you know, one of the things about the whole marijuana debate that's we set the bar so low in this country. Okay, now I'm preaching. I get so frustrated with this. Because you know what the scriptures say about things like getting drunk and marijuana and stuff like that? It doesn't talk about weed, but it talks about things that cause you to be high. It talks about the tragedy of that is debauchery. It's waste. Like you waste your life. You're so stressed that you got to medicate yourself and you can't deal with reality. And what ends up happening is you get to be 70 years old and you're just like, I wasted my life. What's the slang for when you're high? He got wasted. And so one of the reasons that this is absolutely critical is many of us are going to look back and say, I never lived. I was always trying to self-medicate my stress. I was never able to ride the energy of stress. And if you'll stay with me, as I told you, this is a pure, pure, pure teaching series. I mean, we are in a stress and faith classroom these 6 weeks. That's what we are. I'm not preaching about this. This is total. Take out your notebook and write this stuff down, because hopefully you'll come out of here learning. Now, one of my peers one of my mentors in this is a lady by the name of Dr. Kelly McGonigal. She's a Stanford University health psychologist. And she tells about a study that tracked 30,000 United States adults for 8 years. And they started by asking people, how much stress have you experienced in the last year? They also asked, do you believe that stress is harmful for your health? And then they used public health records to find out, in that 8 years, who passed away? Who died? Here's the bad news. She writes, people who experienced a lot of stress in the last year experienced a 43% greater risk of dying. But that was only true for the people who also believe that stress is bad for you. It's harmful. In fact, she said, people who experience a lot of stress but believe that stress was a positive, who viewed stress as not being harmful, were no more likely to die. In fact, they had the lowest rate of dying than anyone in the study, including people who had relatively little stress. Let me say that again. The people who had a lot of stress but viewed it as positive had a rate of dying as low as anyone in the study, including the people who experienced very little stress at all. The researchers estimated that during the 8 years they were tracking this stress effect, 182,000 Americans died prematurely, not from stress, but from the belief that stress is bad for you. We get stressed about our stress. That's 20,000 people a year, she reports. That would make believing stress is bad for you the 15th leading cause of death in America last year, killing more people than skin cancer, HIV, and homicide. So she began this long study of asking the question, can making people think differently about stress positively affect their lives? Can it make a person healthier? And her research after research after research shows what the Bible has said all along. The answer is yes. Yes, and not just spiritually, but physically and mentally. When you change your mind about stress, you change your body's response to stress. And as I said, this 2 years ago when I started studying this, because I needed to figure out a different way to deal with stress than the way I was dealing with it, it has changed my life. Now, I don't know what will happen when something comes that is this huge tsunami in my life. I haven't had that in the last 2 years. I don't know, but I do know this. My body's response to stress is different than it was a few years ago. And I don't dream about Montana nearly as much as I did a couple of years ago. So she did a mock interview, another illustration. She did a mock interview study under the direction of Dr. Alia Crum. And to make the interviews that she was doing more stressful, the interviewers were trained to give her, she was the one talking, to give her and every other participant negative feedback no matter what Kelly McGonigal did, no matter what she said. Come on, inspire me. They were being critical of her as she was talking. It's exactly how some of you look at me every single Saturday night. And they would give feedback like, her eye contact is poor. That was a bad example she picked. She's saying too many uhs and ums. Her posture suggests she lacked confidence. And they would ask these tough questions along with this interview that they were doing of her, where they were being critical of her. And they would ask questions like, do you think gender inequality at the workplace is still a problem in America? And no matter what she said, the evaluators criticized her answers. And even though that experience, she said, was carefully scripted experiment designed to throw her off balance, and she knew it was. She knew that this is an experiment intended to throw her off balance, she said it was still stressful. She was having a physiological response to all this negativity and this criticism. And before the mock job interview, every study participant was randomly assigned to view one of two videos about stress. 3-minute videos. The one she got opened with the message, most people think stress is negative, but actually research shows stress enhances us mentally and physically. The video went on to describe how stress improves performance, enhances well-being, helps you grow. The other participants were shown another 3-minute video. And in that video, it started with this ominous announcement. Most people know that stress is negative, but research shows that stress is even worse than people think. It's more debilitating than you expect. And it went on to describe how stress harms your health. It undermines happiness. It diminishes performance at work. Now, in one sense, both were true, right? Because if you view stress that way, actually all those things end up being true. The effect you expect is the effect you get. But she says, each video was designed to activate a specific perception of stress. One that Dr. Crum hoped would influence how participants' bodies responded to the stress they were experiencing. And so after the experiment, Dr. McGonigal supplied her saliva. And two stress hormones, cortisol and DHEA, which is a neurohormone, a neurosteroid, they are both released in your body when you're under stress by your adrenal glands. And they serve different roles. These were very evident in Dr. McGonigal's body. Cortisol turns sugar and fat into energy so that you can use that energy to respond to whatever is stressing you. It also suppresses biological functions during stress, digestion, reproduction, and growth. But DHEA, look at this, on the other hand, she says, is a neurosteroid, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's the hormone that your brain releases to help your brain grow when you're under stress. In the same way that testosterone helps your body get stronger, DHEA is a neurosteroid that helps your brain get stronger when you're under stress. It also, listen to this. I know this is class now, students. It also counter-effects the negative effects of cortisol. And I'm going to show you why this is important. DHEA speeds up wound repair, enhances immune function. You need both of these hormones, she writes. Neither one is good or bad, but the ratio of these two hormones really determines your future health and growth as physically. Meaning that if you don't have a lot of DHEA, but you have a ton of cortisol, your body is going to be more susceptible to immune dysfunction and depression. Higher levels of DHEA, she reports, have been linked to a reduced risk of anxiety, depression, heart disease, neurodegeneration, and other diseases typically thought of as stress-related. The ratio of DHEA to cortisol is called the growth index of a stress response. I'm telling you, listen to this. Those of you who are students right now, and you need to learn this, okay? This is, you can learn to release more DHEA in your body. You can learn this. A higher growth index, more DHEA, helps people thrive under stress. It predicts academic persistence and resilience in students. Higher GPAs, the growth index, even predicts resilience in extreme circumstances such as recovering from child abuse. So Crum wanted to see if changing people's perceptions about stress could change whether there was more DHEA in their body or more cortisol. Listen to her conclusion. She said, could a 3-minute video about stress alter this key ratio of stress hormones? And the answer undeniably was yes. The videos had no effect on cortisol levels. None. The people that saw the positive video about stress and the people that saw the negative video about stress, no difference in cortisol levels. Everyone's cortisol levels went up during the mock interview, but participants who had watched the stress is enhancing video before the interview released more DHEA and had a higher growth index than participants who had watched the stress is debilitating video. And look at McGonigal's conclusion. Once an idea takes root, you don't have to work so hard at it. It's not a conscious strategy you need to employ or an inner debate you need to have every day. After an initial introduction to a new mindset, it can take hold and flourish. What she's saying there is if you begin practicing this, listen, I'm under stress. My body is releasing things that will help my brain get more alert. My pupils dilate. I can see more. The blood flow changes so that my brain functions. When you start seeing it that way, it becomes a habit, it becomes a mindset, and your body starts responding to that. We climb the mountain of knowledge, and when we get at the top, we find the scriptures all over the place already sitting there saying, even though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. There's something going on that's much bigger than what we feel in the midst of our stress. In the midst of our stress. So they did this mock interview And all these participants were stressed. And then he did part two of this. So part two of this was then, after they were all stressed, they changed it from what you said being criticized to a math problem. And we did this a couple years ago, but I want you to show you something here. Here's the problem they were presented. Right now, as a group, we're going to count backwards as fast as we can from 996 in increments of 7. You got to do it as fast as you can. If anyone messes up, we got to start all over at 996. And I'm going to watch you do this. It's going to be fun for me as payback for how some of you look at me every single week. Okay, so we're going to do this. So imagine you're in an environment where you're being tested for stress, and this is what happens. So are you ready? We're going to start at 996. And when I say go, you start counting backwards out loud. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. 999. Too slow. Come on, speed it up, speed it up, speed it up. Oh, he messed up over here. Start over. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Go. 999. Now see, so you start, your body, if you were in the midst of a room where I'm watching you and we are evaluating you, your body would start having a stress response. Now listen to this. What people like Kelly McGonigal have realized now is the goal is not in our lives. The goal is not to eliminate stress. That's not the goal. As you're going to see in this series, if you make that your goal, that's a sure way to add stress to your life. The goal is to get better at riding the energy of stress waves. And when you're under stress, there's a challenge response that happens, and there's a tend and befriend response that happens that actually makes you better if you will utilize it. If you will utilize it. Look at these. When you view stress as positive, your body believes you, and the two things that it releases is a challenge response and a tend and befriend response. This is fascinating. A challenge response simply means that you increase self-confidence, it motivates action, helps you learn from the experience. The challenge response is the part of your brain that gets alerted, and your brain actually grows when it's under stress if you want it to. But the tend and befriend response is oxytocin, and it increases courage, it motivates caregiving, it strengthens your social relationships. We are wired that when we're under stress to serve and support. We are wired that way. And if you see your stresses, this is motivating me to action. This is motivating me to be in a supportive relationship, to serve someone. The effect you expect is the effect you'll get. I've been reading Father Greg Boyle's book, Barking to the Choir. Have any of you read his book? He's the one who runs Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles, California, where he rehabilitates gang members. It's unbelievable. I mean, if you have, you know, virgin ears, it's full of language, so don't, you know, if that'll offend you, then don't blame me. I warned you, okay? Because it's gang language. But one of the things he says in the book, I tweeted this out this week, is kindness ventilates our self-absorption. So we get all this stress build up, and one of the ways that we actually manage the wave of stress is we ventilate that by getting out of ourselves, and we learn to be kind to someone. We get in support. We get in service to someone. You're wired for that. You're actually wired for that. There are three things stress does to you. If you want it to. Stress gives you energy to help you rise to the challenge. It does. It's really everything about stress is about the release of energy, that wave that you can learn to ride. So this is why, you know, the adrenal glands. This is why, you know, mom lifts car off teenager. It literally does happen, right? Teenage girls lift tractor off father. You know, that's why that happens, is your body's wired for action. Number two is stress makes you social, encourage connection. Oxytocin is the cuddle drug. We're going to learn about that a whole weekend dedicated to you have this drug in you that is the love drug, Barry White. Okay, it's a love drug. Number three, stress helps you learn and grow. You actually need it to grow. Now, this series is a 5-on-5 series. It's really important that you take this, I think, and process it. So we've written a curriculum that takes this message, includes some of this content, but takes it a step further. You can literally pull out your smartphone right now, go to our website, and when you see 515 on the bar, you click that, and this week's will come up this week, where we're focusing on 2 Corinthians 4. And in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul gives us four messages about stress. One is, we are vulnerable. We are just clay pots. Number two, we are victorious. In Christ, you don't have to be a victim of the stress waves of your life and stand on the shore of your life and just get pummeled wave after wave. No, in Christ, we have strength. We are vocal, he says. I believe, therefore I have spoken. One of the things that Scripture speaks into is when you believe something, say it. It's why singing is important. It becomes real when we say it. If you believe it, say it. Because how you speak about stress and how you think about it matters. Your body follows the direction of your brain and your vocal, your vocality of what you're going through. And then number four is you're going to learn as you look at this week, we are visionary. There's something bigger going on in everything that happens to us that is a greater vision for the future, that our temporary problems are achieving for us, Paul says, an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Someday we're going to look back and go, wow, how God allowed these waves to come into my life. But look what happened. I don't know what's going to happen in this country. It does feel like we have created some self-made tsunamis, doesn't it? I mean, we are... In my belief, we have so abandoned God in this country that I think in my lifetime, I think we're going to see prayer back in school. Because you know, people get desperate enough, they actually turn to God. I don't think the flag being raised and the Ten Commandments being raised is going to save people if their hearts don't turn to God. But I'm telling you, friends, some of what we do is our own self-created tsunamis. But some of it is not. In particular, those of you who are students right now, you are in the midst of enormous waves. Waves I didn't have to know how to surf when I was your age. I didn't. But you better learn. You better learn what I'm talking to you about. But know this. There is not one wave that will hit the shore of your life that has not gone through the sovereign hand of God first. Now hear how I said that. I didn't say God necessarily caused that wave to hit your life. But nothing touches you that has not first gone through the sovereign hand of God. That song that Jess and Levi sang tonight comes out of Mark 4. We're in the midst of unbelievable waves. I've been on the Sea of Galilee and a storm can come up so quickly. And these huge breakers can hit on the Sea of Galilee before you have a chance to get ready. That's why Jesus taught so much about be ready, because you know not when the storm's going to hit. And Jesus calms the storm. Maybe it's my favorite verse in Scripture, Mark 4:41. But their response is, who is this? Who is this guy? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Who is this? That there's no wave that affects your life that has not first gone through the sovereign hand of Christ. He's still in charge. He's not wringing his hands in heaven right now going, oh, what am I going to do about these people? All you have to do is trust the one who is in charge of the waves. Know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made to handle everything that comes your way with His help. There's nothing that touches you that you cannot, with His help, learn to ride. And if you need help on that, you're sitting beside people who've overcome cancer, who've overcome abuse, who've overcome rejection, betrayal, people who have gone through unbelievable adversity, and they are here today and trusting more than ever in the one who is in charge of the winds and the waves. And you can learn from them. Let's do that this week. My theme throughout this series is what I'm teaching the kids that I lead on Wednesday nights at Five Seasons, and that is we teach them to say, no matter how stressful the moment, you learn to say, I love this moment. I love this moment. You trick your brain. You embrace the stress. You embrace the pressure. I know that you feel like you don't love this moment, but yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're going to embrace this moment. So, in all genuineness, you can say this right now. Say it with me. I love this moment. And the reason you can say that is this sermon is over. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, 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 peacemaker. As Jordan prayed, the one who is the calm creator, you did not come to make our lives easier. As a matter of fact, it really guarantees our lives will be more difficult if we follow you. It really, truthfully. But there's something that is so alive about the life of faith. An engagement with all that we were made to be in our fearful and wonderful madeness. How you knit us together in our mother's womb, wired to act, wired to grow, wired to connect when we're stressed. And so I pray that for everyone in this room who, and I think especially our students in junior high and high school, that I pray tonight that they grasp just this learning right here, that you have made them not to escape their stress, but to ride it out toward their values in Christ, toward their value in Christ. To ride out the power, the energy of the stress waves to growth. To trust you, because everything is about trusting the one who is in charge of the winds and the waves. Who is in charge of the winds and the waves. Nothing will touch a single person in this room this week that has not first passed through your sovereign hands. And you have a way about you, if we will let you, where you will ride that wave with us. In Jesus we pray. In His character, and who He was, and His identity. And everyone said, amen, amen. See you next week, everybody.
Every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double.